For so long, working in tech has been the ultimate dream job. Things feel different now. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. During an earnings call last week, Mark Zuckerberg said something that seemed to perfectly capture the vibe in tech as layoffs continue to climb. The Meta CEO said the company was in, quote, a phase change, and that 2023 will be a year of efficiency. For tech workers, it's a striking contrast to a mythology that had been building for more than a decade, the conspicuously cushy tech job.
A day in my life working from the Google LA office.
I always grab some candy from the
You can see it on TikTok, where videos like this one from user Nicole Tsai have become a popular genre.
I'm going to head over to the confetti room to take my next meeting.
It's so sparkly and beautiful in here.
I love that a lot of our rooms are themed.
It's a glittering vision of rainbows and all-you-can-drink cold brew. But she posted a few weeks later,
a day in my life getting laid off at Google.
Cue the online schadenfreude.
I'm not rooting for anyone to lose their jobs, but I think there's a big reckoning happening right now with employee expectations.
Nolan Church is now a tech recruiting consultant who previously worked with DoorDash and Google. He says over the last decade, there was a combination of easy money and hard-to-find talent in tech that spurred a kind of arms race to be known as the best place to work.
But in hindsight, right, this created a generation of employees who expect to be coddled. Now, employees are candidly shocked that their jobs are no longer safe, that the perks and amenities that they once had are evaporating quite fast.
But to software engineer Nagar Bayati, Google's catered lunches, on-site doctor, and unlimited time off were more than just fringe benefits.
It meant a lot to me. Like, oh, this company doesn't view me as a robot. They actually see me as a human being.
Which made it all the more jarring when Bayati woke up a few weeks ago to a big red exclamation point on her company login screen.
Just to see that my role was eliminated overnight, it was a little bit disorienting. And I didn't realize how it was getting intertwined with my own identity till I lost it.
Tech companies have cultivated an almost religious sense of devotion from their workers, says Carolyn Chen, a sociologist at UC Berkeley and author of the book Work, Pray, Code.
They've built this kind of ecosystem where work is really your sole source of identity, meaning, and purpose in life.
Not to mention childcare, transportation, and food.
And so when that is taken away from you, when you're laid off, you're completely flattened, devastated. It really starts an existential crisis.
Chen says these mass layoffs and the casual indifference with which many people have been let go could forever shatter the illusion that a dream job in tech is anything more than just a job. And now for some related audio. Nagar Bayati had a lot more to say about her experience working and then being laid off from Google. When she moved to the U.S. from Iran about 6 years ago to attend graduate school at Georgia Tech, she said she never imagined she'd end up at one of the most legendary tech companies in the world.
We had these stickers put up in the office just a few weeks ago that said, "You belong here." And I love the idea behind it, especially because with imposter syndrome, I think a lot of us felt like we didn't belong or we weren't. But I thought that I wasn't good enough on a weekly basis just because I was in a place that I never thought I would be. And I remember 2 days before laying off, we went to grab lunch with my team members, and I saw this big sticker on the door, and I said, "I love what they are doing, but I feel like if you are going to have layoff at some point in the future, these stickers gonna turn to a dark joke of like, you belong here, but also give me your badge."
Tell me about getting laid off. How did you find out about that?
I rushed to get my laptop. I opened it and I saw a big red exclamation mark saying you don't have access. And my heart just sank. I remembered how excited I was when I called my parents to tell them that I got the job at Google, and I just couldn't bring myself to call them and tell them that I lost it. And I remember sitting there and thinking, this is just a job, but why it feels so much more than that? And I feel like it wasn't very healthy for me to put this much weight into a job. And it felt so contrasting of I spent the last year trying to fit in, trying to believe that I belong, that I was working on something important, especially working on accessibility. It has so much meaning for me that I felt like I was doing something very impactful. And just to see that my role was eliminated overnight, it was a little bit disorienting.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about, you know, how much of your life was kind of built around work. I know there's been a lot of commentary about the Google bus and the meals and how all of those things kind of serve to make your workplace kind of the provider of so many things in your life, all the kind of social activities that happen. I mean, was that the case for you, especially given that you were new to this place?
So it was this like one place that provided everything, and losing that was also a little bit, it caught me off guard. For instance, I had a doctor's appointment today and I just realized that, oh, I cannot go into that building anymore because it's for employees and I can't even access my doctor. I need to find another doctor. And I feel like it wasn't very healthy for me to put this much weight into a job and kind of define my self-worth or my who am I as, oh, I'm an employee of this company, I'm a Googler, and let it become part of me instead of just being part of my professional life.
And Carolyn Chen, the UC Berkeley sociologist, said she's been hearing similar things. For her book, Work, Pray, Code, she spent years interviewing tech workers in Silicon Valley about the spiritual dimension of their jobs and their devotion to their employers. Now, with layoffs, many say they feel betrayed.
It feels really arbitrary, you know, and that is this, and when it feels arbitrary, it's just like, what, you know, I've been working my butt off for this and you're taking the job away from me. It feels really arbitrary and it's really hard to then put your faith back into the system.
It's been this run of almost 15 years where to be a tech worker has been like a fantasy. It's been like this, you know, golden dream. Does this fundamentally change the, you know, the calculus? Does it change something fundamental?
The last time something like this happened was in the early 2000s. And in my research, I saw that there were two different attitudes towards work. The prevailing attitude, which was among younger workers, millennials, that really work was really a source of fulfillment, your sense of meaning and purpose and identity. That's sort of the prevailing, I think, Silicon Valley approach towards work. But there is this other set of workers, and these were older workers who had been laid off in the early 2000s. And they had at one time had that same kind of approach towards work, and they believed the promises of the company, and then they were sidelined and they were laid off. And these were folks who had really different attitudes towards work. This is the kind of event that really can change, I think, that could really shift a culture. And I think that this, along with the pandemic, is really like, I think we're at the edge, possibly, of something changing.
We've got more information on Carolyn Chen's book, Work, Pray, Code, When Work Becomes Religion in Silicon Valley, at our website, marketplacetech.org. Lydia Morrell helped produce this episode. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.